Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Have you ever been in the mountains and gone to a stream or a river that's flowing briskly and bent down and cupped your hands and drank cold, refreshing water? That's living water. Or have you sat by a river or a stream and saw the rushing water going over the rocks and the stones, and you heard all kinds of voices that the water was making, and you sat there for a long time and just listened to the variety of sounds? That is living water. And Jesus says to this unnamed woman, he is living water. There he had been sitting at this well in the middle of the day. This well was probably 100 feet deep, maybe 7 feet wide. The base of the well was like a cistern. It gathered water during the rainy season, and then the villagers would use their buckets and dip down. But it was not flowing water. There was some kind of stagnation to it because it was waiting to be drawn from. So they used that water for their livelihood. And there's Jesus in the middle of the day standing, kneeling, or sitting by this well. He's tired, and a woman walks up to him. And he asks for water. And in that moment, he broke several barriers. And in breaking the barriers, he broke through to her and to all of us. He broke barriers of culture, gender, religion, and ethnicity. He broke the barrier of talking to a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans for hundreds of years just did not talk to one another. Jews and Samaritans worshipped on a different mountain. And men and women in public, if they were alone and unaccompanied, did not talk to one another. So several barriers were broken as Jesus broke through to this very thirsty woman. In the middle of the day, she went. And she had to go in the middle of the day because all the other women went in the morning or evening. And each took turns, these women that gathered morning and evening to draw water from that well, and they would draw their buckets down and draw them back up. And while they were waiting for their turn, they would talk about the news of the day, and they would talk about what was going on, and once in a while, they probably talked about her. Because she had had 5 husbands, and the person she was living with now was not her husband. So she did not feel welcomed, and so she avoided them. So this Samaritan woman was thirsty. She was thirsty for friendship. She was lonely and thirsting for women that would accept her. She was thirsty for a right relationship. 5 men had moved on from her. She was thirsting for someone that would accept her and love her. She was thirsty for human kindness. She didn't want people to talk about her. She wanted to have the respect and care of others. So this thirsty woman felt very unworthy, unloved, lonely, isolated. And she thirsts for self-esteem. And this man turns to her and asks her for water. Their exchange, their conversation, is the longest conversation in all of the Gospels. Back and forth they talk. And many of you, and listening to what I've identified as maybe the issues she was holding in her heart, loneliness and isolation, suffering of different forms, maybe identify with her. Because maybe you at times have felt lonely or not understood or in pain and not knowing what to do about it, whether it's emotional or mental or physical. You're struggling. I identify with that. I always have moments when all of a sudden I recognize I need to take a deep breath and recognize where I am in this time in my life and see what the new choice may be. So in my early 40s, I felt a stagnation, like water at the bottom of a well that wasn't moving. So I went to a therapist and talked about the stagnation, my emotions, not moving, feeling stuck. And so this therapist suggested I read a book, How to Be an Adult. I was in my early 40s. I didn't really appreciate that title. So I got the book and opened and began to explore chapters on fear, anger, guilt, the struggle for values and self-esteem, how to maintain personal boundaries, issues of intimacy. And the second half of the book was on spiritual integration. When you move through feelings, then you leave a stagnation and you're exploring new territory, you're entering stages of growth. And that is what we heard in the first and second reading, as well as the gospel. For in the first reading, we literally heard from the wilderness, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. This whole group of people moving forward, growing together, led by God, moving from one issue to another to another. And in the letter to the Romans, we hear what some of those stages can be. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Jesus met this woman in a stage of suffering. She was thirsty for more. And so his exchange with her was such that a shift and a step began to happen. So she went back to her village. She must have looked different. She must have sounded different. Because what happened next seemed authentic as she simply said, "Come and see someone who's told me everything about my life." There was more to it than that sentence. She rang true. She witnessed to a change inside of herself. That living well of grace had already begun to lead her forward. The villagers go to see Jesus. They too now have entered that stream of grace. They too now will begin stages of growth. Within them, now this living grace, this presence of Jesus, has begun to transform. Albert Schweitzer once said, "There is an ocean of cold water without motion." So if you look out at the Pacific Ocean, you see the surface, but it's not like a stream rushing by. So when you first look, it looks like it's just sitting there, this whole Pacific Ocean. And yet, in this ocean is the Gulf Stream, hot water flowing from the Ecuador, from the equator towards the pole. If you ask scientists to explain it, they will say a stream of hot water flows between the waters of the ocean, and the moving within the motionless, the hot within the cold, no scientist can explain. Similarly, there is the God of love within the forces of the universe. We are one with him, yet different. And we are invited to let ourselves be seized and carried away by this vital stream. We are invited to be carried away by the living water of Jesus. As we enter our stages of growth, others will notice. They might not ask, but they will notice, because something has become more authentic. Pockets of suffering are being transformed. Maybe loneliness is less because you've learned that to reach out to others brings a joy. And so there's this movement of grace flowing between you and others. And then there might come a time in your stage of growth when you feel the grace to go and say outside of these walls, "Come and see." And you invite others more by your actions than your words, the authentic living water flowing in you. And to help you be that witness, bend down, scoop up the grace within you, and listen. Listen to the voice within, leading you forward. And someday, maybe that voice prompts you to say to others, "Come and see with me."